Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The title of our message this morning is Christ, the essential ingredient for peace. Today our culture is in turmoil. The scenes we are seeing are somewhat like out of a war zone and not like a civil society. And we all have been witnessing strange things in these days. Tensions are high, and society is on the brink because of this essential ingredient that is missing in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls that we see in Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace. There will never be peace among nations. There will never be peace among individuals. And there will never be peace among races until the Prince of Peace rescues us from the disease and sin in our hearts. Men of the world have no answer to man's problems. None. Social remedies cannot solve spiritual issues. It's like putting Band-Aid on cancer. Our culture does not need a higher education. The more we are educated, the more sinful we are. Man has rejected God. And because of this, we have opened the floodgates of hell in our society. As I watch helplessly, I am weary of human wisdom and cliches like no justice, no peace. That may sound politically correct, but it is biblically incorrect. It is no Christ, no peace. According to God's word, we should never endorse the unbiblical line. And that's what they want us to endorse. Christians should be Christians. People are troubled in the land. But I hope that those calling themselves Christians, because they too are running with the herd, I hope that those who call themselves Christians are not part of the problem. We ought to be a part of the solution to the problem. We ought to be standard bearers in our churches and in our culture, as I prayed. We ought to be light. We ought to be salt in this world. This social climate that surrounds us today should not surprise the believer. For our Lord said in Matthew 24, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he who endures to the end, that one shall be saved." For someone's love to grow cold means he never had it. Not the love of Christ. It can't grow cold. The Apostle Paul also spoke of our current day saying in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Some parents today cannot even control their own children, their own household, teenagers, young adults. Can do what they want. No limit to their behavior. Here in the book of Ephesians, God gives an eternal perspective of the world and mankind, showing what he did in the past, in the eons of time. He shows in the second chapter what he is doing at present in bringing peace to our souls. God tells us what he will do in the distant future, in eternity. You know these things. And why he has done these things. At least three times in the first chapter, we read the chorus to the praise of his glory. That's why God is allowing all of this to happen, to the praise of the glory of God. Therefore, I'll endeavor to show what he has done in the lives of those who have come to know peace. Some of you may be here. You are still at war. I heard Curtis say, the opposite of peace is war. Not with guns and bullets, but with rebellion against God. Rebellion against the authorities that God have put in place. Rebellion against parents. That's war. Colossians tell us, the companion passage, how peace was accomplished. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened. He quickened together with Christ in eternity, having forgiven you all trespasses, past, present, future trespasses. That's peace. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, the law, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Peace is found in a person, Christ, Jesus. Christians did not always know the peace of God. Some of us lived on the party scene, coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning and people going to work. Living in the night hours, wee hours of the morning, we are partying, 4 o'clock. That's the war life. Are you at peace? We were not always children of peace. The scriptures say in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 2, and you, having quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The scripture says that a Christian, one who is saved, past identity was among the spiritually dead. Dead people have no hearing. Dead people have no sight. Dead people have no feeling. Go and pinch one and see what would happen. Dead people have no spiritual life. They're not interested in spiritual things. Chapter 4, verse 19 of Ephesians renders a Christian's past lost identity as without feeling, numbness to spirituality, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lawlessness. And pay attention. Because I am really addressing what is happening. You may be listening by chance. And you may be a part of the war. Christians weren't born as natively good people. They had no inclination in doing good. Ever since Adam's fall, man has become an enemy of God. Paul goes on to say a believer's past identity was in alignment with the God of this world. We were once under the rule of Satan, ran with the herd. We don't see Satan. He's a spirit being. All we see is the effects of his working in the lives of men. And oh, how we have been seeing it over the past 3 months. He works in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2 says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see a lot of people in these mass crowds, and you ask them, where are you going? Oh, I don't know, I just fall into people. I just doing what I see. They're breaking a start, breaking one too. These words give a perfect description of the past identity of everyone who has been brought to a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus. These words also show the present state of an unbeliever. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Past identity. But wonderfully, Christians exhibit a changed life, and thus we see a second heading, our present state of grace. Verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. To quicken is an old-fashioned word to mean to make alive. Notice the plural word that the apostle uses. Us. Quicken us. It is only relative to those who are quickened. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us again. The word us is inclusive with the writer of the epistle, Paul. He puts his name there as one who ran with the crowd. But now, I've been given life. Paul also previously walked in an evil manner. And you know that. Notice that he underscores the fact two more times. Even when we were dead in sins, have he quickened us with Christ. It means all people who have become saved were once dead. People ask, how dead was I? Was I dead enough that I had a will? Well, you need to answer that question. Can you go to the graveyard and call a dead man and tell him, come out? I get a call a couple days ago. I didn't even answer the phone. This pastor called, hello, I am Pastor so-and-so, and I'm calling to tell you God loves you. How does he know that? And all you have to do is pray this prayer and ask God to save you. And he will save you. And when he saves you, call me on this number. That's what preaching has become today. Men are no more dead. They have a spark of divinity that they can choose God. That's not what Ephesians 2 teaches. And that's not what you have been taught over the years here. And some of you still feel that way. Present state of the Christian, quicken. God in his rich mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. God went beyond mercy and extend grace in our lives, verse 6, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That word heavenly places should be better translated in the heavenlies. It is not a social standing among men that we have, but a spiritual state before God. The psalmist says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. It's the same thing. Sins and iniquities. So we see the Christian's past identity. We see the Christian's past, present state of grace. We see, thirdly, the Christian's future destiny in Ephesians. All in Ephesians 2, verse 7 says, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, or because of Christ Jesus. The word ages is out of the human realm. Ages to come. It speaks of eternity. Only eternity will reveal the extent of God's mercy. I can't tell what it is like here. The blessings we have as Christians below cannot be compared with the blessings we have above. The Bible says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And this, by the way, is another definition of a Christian. Them that love him, Jesus. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yes, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10. Now, if eternity is not real, there is no Savior. If eternity is not real, there is no heaven to gain. And if eternity is not real, there is no hell to shun. Jesus said on many, many occasions, hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It means that suffering goes on and on and on and on and on and on without stopping. The apostle said in Jude 6 that the angels which kept not their first estate, loyalty, but left their own habitation, heaven, he have reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of the great day. Well, the Bible tells us about eternity negatively as well as positively. But on the contrary, our Savior has reserved a future destiny for those who believe on him. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tell us why and how this destiny was secured. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, as a gift of God, as any man should boast. But the word grace is used quite a bit, but it is a misunderstood word. It means favor. Man has no merit or claim for favor. Out of God's own sovereign pleasure, he looked upon some and not upon others, and call them out of the rubbish heap. That's what grace is. Now, Ezekiel depicts God's grace, you may be familiar with this, to an infant just born and was left with its umbilical cord not removed. Now, I'm not a midwife. I just read about these things. Maybe Elmira would know about these things. The child was wallowing in its blood until someone passed by and pitied that child, washed that child, bathed that child, loved that child. It's a picture of grace. You want to turn to it? Ezekiel chapter 16. Turn here, let me show you. Ezekiel 16, verses 4 through 6. Ezekiel is in the Old Testament book. After Jeremiah and so on, Lamentations, we read in verse 4, as for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes like the Savior. Nor I pitied you to do any of those things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field when you yourselves were loath on the day you were born. And when I passed by you, I saw you struggling in your own blood. I said to you, in your blood live. Yes, I said unto you, in your blood live. Just look at that. Hypothetically speaking, can you imagine this child growing up and bragging how they came to life? Can you imagine this child growing up, going to college and bragging how they came? Can you imagine that child never showing any gratitude to the one who pitied them? Well, this is how it is today. Christians' future destiny. Paul calls us to remember, verse 12 through 14. He says, time passed, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one. Normally, the interpretation of this text is that Jesus have made Jew and Gentile both one. I beg to differ. God have made Christ and his elect one. We are in him. It is true that Gentiles and Jews were at odds, but the both that are made one is the believer and Christ. Read the context carefully. Present standing, because we are seated with Christ. We are in him. And we were in him from the foundation of the world. This is Reformed theology. Paul calls us to remember. However, having said these things, brethren, regrettably, everyone cannot identify with these things I have just shared. Many cannot say with full assurance that their identity has changed. There is no distinction between their past and their present. But when they realistically look at their lives, they brush up their lives, they attend church, but there is no distinction between them and the world. And they come to church. A great number cannot say that God has bestowed this present mercy of grace. Oh yes, they enjoy common mercies, such as food, food on the table, money in their hoppers, good health, comfortable home, common mercies. Maybe you enjoy these things, but you are not assured of your future destiny. You are not in a state of grace. You're not born of God. You have this missing ingredient in your life, in your soul, Christ. Many of the problems of the world stems from a serious heart issue. In fact, all the problems. It's not a social issue that caused people to act sinful. It's not an educational or racial issue. It's a heart issue. Stop the nonsense. Don't listen to the lie. We need to stop putting band-aid on cancer. Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these things come from within and defile the man. The government is not going to tell you wear a mask to protect yourself from those things. He's not going to tell you to wash your hands carefully, and you'll be protected from these things. It is the heart. It is your heart. And that's why there's rebellion. Come on, let's understand. How come people are willing to follow instructions from without? I can't follow instructions from within. The Word of God. Brethren, I must apologize. I have become so used to speaking evangelistically in a foreign pagan culture that I have become neglectful of my own modern affluent culture. We go places and we say, oh, these people need God and they need to repent. Our church need God. I need to repent. I apologize. America has become a pagan culture, and the churches are silent. There is a missing ingredient in our lives, and here I stand today. The missing essential ingredient is described with a simple two-letter word in Ephesians 2:14. He. Peace is found in a person. He is our peace, who have made both one, Christ and the sinner, made one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The us here, no, refer to Jew and Gentile. We were both separated by the law. That's the proper exegesis. Paul is speaking of Jesus Christ, who is our peace. There is no peace in this world without Christ. All of the patching up men would do in the forthcoming days will not solve the greatest issue. Our problem, brethren, is sin. Sin is transgression of the law. And you see it in all forms. And I list some of them to you in 2 Timothy 3. Even in the church today, there are many with this missing ingredient in their lives. They have religion, no doubt, but they have no Christ. They do not have His peace. They are in turmoil. They are in worry. What's going to happen? They don't have the peace of God. The peace I am inferring, brethren, is a two-way peace. First, it is horizontal. Then it is vertical. If there is no peace with God, there will not be peace with our fellow man. Whether we black, whether we white, or whether we are polka dot. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off from God are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Brought near to God. Brought into the realms of fellowship with God. But secondly, there are some tragic repercussions that will be born out of a life that has no peace with God. There will be many outward manifestations that will flow out of a life that is void of a relationship with God who has created us. And what you are seeing, brethren, are some of those repercussions. And that's why it says some Christians should declare their hand. They should declare their hand. Are you a peacemaker? You know what is a peacemaker. Are you a gospel person? Or are you a troublemaker? One of the repercussions is, if there is no peace with God, there will be no fellowship with the Lord Jesus. I have it listed so that you can follow. That's one of the perks of the lockdown. You have the outline in front of you. If there is no peace with God, there will be no fellowship with Christ. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If you say you have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. A lot of people say they have fellowship with Him, walk in darkness. Out of their mouth proceed the same cussing, swearing, and the like. To have peace with God means that one will have fellowship with their Creator. They will also seek fellowship with those who are of the new creation. God has made us for fellowship. No peace means that we are separated from God. It is through the blood of His Son that one is brought near to God. Romans 5:1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. When there is no life with Christ, we will be consumed on ourselves. What men need is Christ. All ethnics, all cultures, all creeds, all religions have a missing ingredient, Christ. This is the problem today. It is a heart problem. Most of the problems in the church stems from a heart problem. Civil leaders will not see the heart problem. Only the true Christian will. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Jesus loved them both. It was a heart issue then. It is a heart issue now. Paul said in Athens that God that giveth life to all men and breath and all things have made from one blood all men to dwell on the face of the earth. Can you imagine that? One blood made all men. What is the problem? and has determined the times before appointed and the boundaries. Everybody can't live in America. I always tell the people in Zimbabwe, God put you here. God is who determined the boundaries for you to live in Maple Rain or Mukambami. But he did this that you may seek the Lord, if happily you may feel after him and find him. And that's why he sent me here, that you may seek him. Acts 17, you know the text, 26 and 27. There's no peace because there's no Christ. He's our peace, who have made both one, Christ and man, broken down the middle wall. Second, if there is no peace with God, there will be no path, way to follow. You will be stumbling at noonday. No guidance of the Spirit. For there are the sons of God who are led by the Spirit. The Word, that's what it means. The righteousness of God is fulfilled in those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The word walking in accordance to the Spirit simply means walking according to the Word of God. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that God is speak to people and they walk accordingly. To walk in the Spirit means to walk in accordance with the will of God. Okay? When there's no peace with God, there will always be tension between men. Take for instance, you have two people living in the same house, a husband and a wife. You always find there's a fight between the two. Somebody mentioned it already. Why do you think that there's a fight, a constant fight? Well, they're two people. They're two different people. They're two different kingdoms in the house. And that's why Christians better be careful. Because you are soliciting war in your house. Constant war. Maybe you have that. When there's no peace, there will be tension. Boys, girls, no human remedy being offered up can solve man's problem. I'm hearing many solutions offered up. But where are the preachers? Where is the church in all of this? Lasting peace comes by way of the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things that say on to Zion, thy God reigns. Zion is the church. And I'm reminding you, my God reigns. I'm hearing of this organization and the other organization, but where's the church? We're God's people in the social media. Every time I get some nonsense. We're God's people on the networks that you're listening to. No wonder our lives are like that. We're God's people on the pulpit. Whenever there's this missing essential ingredient, there's no pathway to follow. Don't expect you're going to get a pathway on NBC or ABC or CNN. No pathway. The Word of God. You think that I'm not relevant to what's going on? The church must speak. The Lord said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When I was a young man, I thought Henry Kissinger was a peacemaker, only to find out that his peace treaty didn't last too long. I thought Jimmy Carter was a peacemaker. Didn't last. Christ. And the Christian is the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. You can reverse that beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You can reverse it. Because they are children of God, they are peacemakers. There are many professing Christians who have joined the ranks of the troublemakers. They endorse the troublemakers. Oh, you know, they're just expressing themselves. Somebody got to say. Somebody got to do it. That's what I'm talking about. They are propagating a gospel of war. They are not propagating the gospel of peace. They are not seeking the peace of men. They are playing to the gallery. Preachers. Black preachers. They're emissaries of a hate message, a pseudo message. And some Christians, as I said, need to declare their hand. If there's this missing essential ingredient, there will be no fellowship with Christ. There will be no pathway to follow. Bible tells us when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. The only way your ways can please the Lord is if you know peace. When we have this ingredient, we will be at peace with God. We will be at peace in our homes. We'll be at peace with ourselves. We'll be at peace with our fellow man. We don't have to like them. It's Christ that breaks down that wall of hatred and racism. Breaks down the wall of color and culture. Of course, still got problems. Cultures, races, you would always have it. Heart issue. I'm allowed to preach in white congregations just as I'm allowed to preach in black congregations. You've had preachers from white congregations preach to you and black congregations. Where's the racism? Sin separates men from friendship and love, but Christ unites us. When there is no peace, there will be no pathway to follow. Let me read Hebrews to you. You don't have to turn to it. Hebrews chapter 12. Plan to do more reading. Verse 12 through 14. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You see, they go together, peace and holiness. Peace and holiness. Where to follow? That's the pathway to follow. Third, if there is no peace with God, there is no future hope. And that's what Ephesians talk about. Ages to come. You have not been quickened. You're still walking with the prince of the power of the air. You have no fellowship with the Lord. There's no future hope. For through him, we both have access by one spirit. Verse 18, unto the Father. Well, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, fellow citizens with the saints. Household of God. The quickest thing some people could tell you is that he's a foreigner. Alien. You don't belong. Not when you know the Prince of Peace. So Some men take pride in a passport, which passport they hold. God says here that those who have a life with Christ are fellow citizens with the saints, the writer. The saints. Not the saints that men make saints. The saints who have left and gone to be with God, and the saints who are still here. Those who are converted. Not with those of ethnicity or color or political persuasion, with the saints and the household of God. If you have that essential missing ingredient, you should praise God. But if you don't have it, you have no hope. No future hope. Oh yes, many attend church. You may be close to those who attend church. But that doesn't give you a future hope. You may not even know this peace that I'm talking about. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Do not let your heart be troubled. So we should not be surprised, brethren, as we come back slowly to the church. We are not preaching like this Sunday after Sunday. If you heard what we were preaching, we would resume our preaching on Nehemiah. But this is a pending message that rests on my heart because of what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, especially among the people of God. We should not be surprised of our current atmosphere in these last days. The Bible says, when you see these things, look up. There is an essential missing ingredient in the lives of mankind. Nobody wants the gospel today. All sectors of humanity have a missing ingredient in their lives. Christ. All sectors. Hell has opened up in front of us. And it's going to get worse as the days go on. Look out. Buckle up. As much as men try to pretend righteousness, we're in this together. We pray that things will be better. Don't listen to the lie. Just open your mouth and tell them about the Prince of Peace. And you'll be marginalized. Just open up your mouth and say, let's pray in church. And you'll be pushed out. Just open your mouth and say, let's pray in the office. We're in this together. We call attention to our Lord's words, brethren. For he is our peace. Peace must be found in a person, not a system, not a religion, not a philosophy. No Christ, no peace. But knowing Christ gives peace. It's high time that the church speak. That a voice come up from in the church. They're trying to silence us. But we cannot but speak of the things we have seen and heard. If I listened to people, I wouldn't be here speaking this morning. I'd be home shut up. Behind a wall. The thief comes not to steal, to kill, to destroy. I'm come. You might have life. You may have it more abundantly. Anytime society is marked by stealing, killing, destruction, it is the work of the thief. Okay? Christ Jesus is the source of life. Always remember that. May God bless you.